feel a great need of your prayers tonight, that the Lord would just bless us with liberty to be able to share the gospel with those that have gathered here tonight. I believe we've met to worship the Lord, and we've met in spirit and in truth, and our desire is to worship Him and praise Him and honor Him tonight. We also come, I hope, desiring as newborn babes the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby, that we may learn of Him, as He said, to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And we know how dependent we are upon the Lord to be able to do that. The good news is that He is exceedingly abundantly able to supply what we need tonight to enable us. He's able to enable me to be a minister, a faithful minister of the gospel. He's able to enable you to have an ear to hear, an eye to see, and a heart to understand the gospel. And He enables us also to be able to walk in this world in a way to give Him honor and praise and glory. And really, that's the purpose of you being here on planet Earth. You being here on the place that the Lord has made and provided for us. The world was created for His glory. It was created by Him and through Him and for Him. And we were put here by Him that we might be honoring Him and praising Him while we live here and the time He's given us in our life. And when our time is over, when our ship is ready to get to the shore, when our traveling is done, He has a place awaiting us that He has promised that all of His children will enjoy by and through His grace. And until that time, it's a wonderful thing to walk in this old troubled world, even when we feel His manifest presence. I pray tonight we'll be able to feel His presence. I ask you to pray for me that I may feel it as I make an effort to preach. That things that I've said maybe many times may seem like it's the first time you've heard them and be that fresh to you and that new to you. So that your heart is stirred like it was the first time the Lord blessed you to hear it. And the things of the Lord sound sweeter and sweeter, don't they, as we go along in this world, the more we're able to embrace them. Tonight I'm on a very familiar passage to you as old Baptists, and yet it's what is on my mind if I have anything, and if I can do nothing more than read it in your hearing, it'll be good for us to hear it one more time. And I'm going to read to you tonight from Romans 8. I'm again reading at verse 28 of Romans, the 8th chapter. Here we have the writings of the Apostle Paul, given to us by inspiration of God, telling us about the way that the Lord has seen fit to save His people, and what He came to do, what He did, what He finished. And Romans 8 and 28, we read this language. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this passage is surely telling us about the wonderful, glorious love of Almighty God for His people. The love of God is such that all things work together for good to them that love God. Somebody might think this passage is telling you that if you first love the Lord, then that'll cause everything to work together for your good if you'll just simply love God. May even try to think that we're trying to direct people that do not know God to know God and love God and follow after God, and as a result, God responds because of our love that is for Him. But really, we know from the Scriptures that we love God, if we do love God, because He first loved us. That love is not something we initiated, not something we began, but actually that love began for us a long time ago, towards us. Even before we were born, even before we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb, even before we ever breathed the first breath of life, God had a love for His people that was before the very foundation of the world. And it is that love that has brought about every blessing that you and I have ever had or ever will have today or ever will have in the future. It is because of what He has done for us that we have been able to enjoy all these wonderful, glorious blessings here in life. It is also because that's the reason that we have a sweet hope about not only while we're living here in this world right now, but what's coming in the future. I hope you're looking forward to what's coming in the future. I know that at times we get very concerned about the future. We become, as He said in Psalm 37, we get to be fretting about evildoers and what may come in the future. Remember, He said this, don't fret yourselves over evildoers, because we have one who will not and cannot fail, who has promised to take care of us as long as we're here in this world, and one day to carry us out of this world to be with Him in glory. And there's a great, great deliverance for God's little children in simply trusting in Jesus and obeying what He would have us to do here in this world. He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, we want to make sure we rightly divide the word of truth with this passage, because we are talking about the things here that God has done for His people. We talk about the work of Almighty God. All things that He has given to us by His divine power. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. All of the working of Almighty God in our lives. There are times we're having things occur in our life that we feel are totally out of the control of Almighty God. And we know that God is not the author of confusion. We do not charge Him or make Him as the author of sin. We know the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that God is not the author of confusion, but He's the author of peace. And we look to Him for those good things that are happening in our life. But aren't you thankful that when things are going rough and difficult in our lives, we have a God who overrules and supersedes all of those things. And in the midst of them, God works out in many times things that seem to be so bad and so difficult for us that they even ultimately work for our good. And I'll tell you, that's a great and mighty God. You know, Joseph told his brethren, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God overruled what their intent was and brought out their own salvation through bringing Joseph to a place where he was able to deliver them in a time of famine by the blessings of Almighty God. Now get this, Joseph wasn't so much. Daniel wasn't so much. Abraham wasn't so much. We wouldn't be anything at all without the grace of Almighty God. But God works in our lives in such wonderful ways that He brings about things that though you may think He's not involved in the day-to-day activities of your life. Listen, the sun doesn't come up without the Lord, nor does it go down in the evening. The stars don't shine without the Lord. The workings, there's not a sparrow that falls without Him. He is the power and the force by which we have our life. In Him we live and we move and we have our being. And without Him, we don't have any of these things. And can we all say tonight, the Lord has been so good to me, I want to praise His name. I hope that's what you're saying. I hope that's what you say in your heart. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And those who love God are those who are loved of God. And that God has given them the gift of love, allowing them and enabling them and equipping them to be able to love God. And I say to you tonight, if you have the ability to love God, you love Him. If you have the ability tonight to believe in Him, you believe in Him. You trust in Him. You depend upon Him. In all thy ways you acknowledge Him. You delight yourself in the Lord. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's because your heart's on track. And the heart that's on track is not that old dead alien sinner heart, but that heart that's a new heart, a circumcised heart, a heart that's made to know God and to want to please God in our lives. He says, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God has a called our people. He has the sheep. He has His lambs. He has those that He loved in covenant. And every one of them He effectually calls in the new birth, somewhere between conception when their life begins and death when the spirit and soul leaves the body. They are all born again. They are all called. And it's an effectual calling. It's a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a calling that's not done by man, but it's done by Almighty God. Man's not used in any part of that. Oh, there's a calling that the gospel does. But the calling that the gospel does will have only an effect on those who are called by the Lord first and made alive. And then the gospel comes and shines a light. You see, all their disciples would have done if they loosed Lazarus and let him go before the Lord had given him life, would uncover him from his grave clothes, and he would have been just as dead as he was before. The only thing, he wouldn't have been equipped for death like he would have been when he was in his grave clothes. Grave clothes are for dead people. And once Lazarus was made alive, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth wearing the grave clothes that he was wrapped in, bound hand and foot. And then Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, loose him and let him go. You see, what preaching does, it doesn't give life to the dead, but it lets those that have been made alive, it unlooses them and tells them how they ought to be living and acting and behaving in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. He says, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. Isn't it wonderful to know we have a God who foreknew His people? Now, some might say that He foreknew what they would do, and as a result, He responds to that. But that's not the case. As a matter of fact, God knew what we would do if He'd have left us where we were and what we would have done. There would have been none of us who sought after God. There would have been none of us who ever called out to God. There would be none of us who ever walked down an aisle of a church and asked for a home. There would be none of us who would have wanted to go into the baptismal water. There would have been none of us who would have seen the wonderful message of Calvary given through the gospel and had any desire a willingness to believe such a message. We would have considered it foolishness and wouldn't have wanted to have anything to do with it. But tonight I think y'all love to sing just like I did. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think you understand it's a great privilege for us to be able to come out tonight in a capacity that we're in and set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's lifted you up. He's put your feet upon a rock. You're living a different life, a different walk, a different talk, a different action, a different behavior. Why? Because God has touched your heart and allowed you to see that He is God and that He is real. And therefore, you want to live differently and act differently. You want to behave yourself differently. You don't want to be that old person that you was, that old man, that old woman, that we are by nature. You want to put that old man, that old woman down, put him under, put him, keep him from rising up. And he keeps popping his head up and keeps interfering in our lives. But oh, we have a reason to live and a purpose for our existence with an understanding that there's a heaven that awaits us. And also an understanding that there's a Lord who blesses us while we're here every single day of our life. I heard a sad story today of a man that was an atheist that lost his dear companion. And he is so upset about losing his dear companion, he doesn't want to live anymore. And he said, because all that happens when you die is that something in your mind, in your head, your gray matter just gets in your brain, just that's all that spirit is inside. It just pops out. And that's what he's left with. I thought, what a sad, sad existence that would be to think that my fellowship with my loved ones that I've had here in this world would come to an end. There's nothing else. Even if we had hope in Christ, if we had hope in Christ, in this life only, if we had hope in Christ, we would still be of all men most miserable. Listen, it's been a wonderful time living in this world, hasn't it? And the Lord been good? Has the Lord been good to you? He has. He's brought about things you never thought you'd ever have. And at times, maybe it felt even like that man, and that's a man in despair. Listen, I don't know if the Lord will ever touch his life, but I can tell you when God works in his heart, or if God has worked in his heart and will enlighten him, he'll understand that there's a whole lot more to life than just a heart ticking and a brain operating. We are here not because happenstance brought us about, but we're the work of Almighty God. And for God's little children, for God's children, his elect, we were known in covenant by him before the very foundation of the world. That's why he sent his son into this world, because of you. And it wasn't because you did so much right, it's because we did everything wrong. He didn't come for us when we were godly, he came for us when we were ungodly. He didn't come for us when we were his friend, he came for us when we were his enemies. And if you're a friend today of Jesus, it isn't because you made him your friend. It's because he made you different. And you became his friend because of the work of grace that he's done on the inside. And you might try to hide that or ignore it, but it won't go away. Because once you've been made a new creature, old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. And he says, for whom he did foreknow, that's the people. Who are they? They are the called. He foreknew them in covenant before the very foundation of the world. Those that he knew in covenant, that means he loved them. That word knowing them wasn't just he knew about them or knew in his foreknowledge. Listen, he knew all men in his foreknowledge in the sense of knowing about them and what they would be. But he knew these in a very intimate, particular way and a specific way. He had a love for you. He loved you. Listen, he loved you. Just like that man who had 100 sheep and lost one, one went astray. As he said, what man who has having 100 sheep and one goes astray will not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go out into the mountains and seek and find that little one that's astray. And when he finds that little one, he takes him and puts him up on his shoulder and he brings him back and he comes rejoicing. Look, this one that was lost is now found. I'm telling you, all of us were like sheep that had gone astray. Which of his elect did not go astray? You went astray. And somebody said, I went astray. And I could say that about me. I could say that about you. All of us went astray. And you know what he did? Though we were astray, the Lord had laid on him, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 says that all we like sheep went astray, but that he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That was in the Old Testament before they knew and completely understand. I believe Isaiah knew it, but there were those who were waiting for that Messiah to come. And that Isaiah 53 tells us about what he would do, that he was bruised and that he was beaten and that he endured the agony. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he paid the sin debt for his people. And he went like a little lamb, dumb before his shearers, and didn't open his mouth. You know why? Because he knew, I have a people that I love, that I loved in covenant with the Father and with the Son before the very foundation of the world, and I foreknew them, and the Father sealed him to go do this. That means he put his stamp on him. And he said, he sent his only begotten Son into this world. Jesus didn't just come for somebody. He came for those of his little lambs and his sheep that were lost. And he went through the briars that we get in. And you know, God's little children can get in some briars. You been in some briars? I've been in some briars. I've been in some thickets. I've got a lot of marks on me of battles that I should have never been in. I'm sure you got a few too. Where the Lord, but the Lord didn't just say, okay, they've gone too far, they've sinned away their last. No, because he foreknew them and he predestinated them. That word a lot of people are scared of. Listen, don't be scared of that word. Be thankful for God's predestination, because he predestinated his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. And what did he do? Did he predestinate all things? No, he predestinated his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he sent his only begotten Son here into this world to save those of his children. And there wasn't a single possibility one of those for whom Jesus came would ever be anywhere but saved. The Son of Man came into this world to seek and save that which was lost. And his children were loved so much that their angels in heaven behold the face of the Father awaiting, I believe, his instruction to take care of us as we live here in this world. Y'all believe the Lord sends angels to take care of his people? The Bible says he does. It says, be careful when you entertain strangers, because you may be entertaining angels unawares. Sometimes he'll send us messengers that are men, and sometimes he'll send us angelic beings, those of his creation, the angels that are waiting on the Lord, that are said there to serve the Lord. It isn't because the Lord needed them. He blessed those angels to have that existence. And it isn't because the Lord needed us either, but he's blessed us to have this existence. What a wonderful God that he's blessed us to be able to tonight come and worship him in a way that we're going to do in heaven. Don't ever discount this the importance of this meeting or any meeting. Because when we present our bodies, we do it a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And we in some extent do not get conformed to this world, but we get transformed. Don't you get some transformation when you come to church? Sure you do. He said, well, does the preacher give you that? Well, it might be through the preacher, because sometimes that's an angel in a sense. And yet, and I'm not calling myself an angel tonight, but I'm telling you, it's the messenger. If he's preaching the gospel and the truth, he's given the message from a far country. He's given you the word. It's like cold water to a thirsty soul. It's good news from a far country. And the angel is the messenger the Lord gives. And sometimes it's men. I believe I heard some good messages yesterday over at Thumb Run. They helped me. I had a good message last Sunday. It helped me. Didn't help you? Helped me. Helped me all week. It made me be very thankful to the Lord at a very low point and to be lifted up. And I'll tell you, when are you going to have another low point? The next day, the next moment? I need it. And I need to hear this same thing over and over again. There's a God who's foreknown you before the foundation of the world. And you were special in His sight. Now, it's strange when you come to an old Baptist church, because you get told two messages. And both of them are true. One of the messages is that you're rotten and no good, and there's absolutely no merit that you have in yourself at all. That message is very clear and very plain. There's one message that cuts you down, puts you right where you belong. And then there's another message for the poor and the meek and the halt, for the little publicans and sinners that come to hear Jesus. Are you here tonight to hear from Jesus? Are you here tonight because you're worthy of being here? Or are you here tonight in spite of where you're so unworthy in and of yourself? And that message you hear, that if you feel worthy, then you're not. But if you feel unworthy, who does the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity dwell with? He dwells with those and lifts up those who are humble and contrite in heart. And I'm telling you, the same one that cuts you down lifts you up. Sometimes the circumstances of life can cut you down. If a man gets a little heady and high-minded, it isn't long before he's cut down. Isn't that true? That's why don't be envious of the wicked. Don't be envious of those that are evil, because it ain't going to be long. They'll be taken care of. And he never told us we had to do that. Sometimes we get that idea. I got to get them taken care of. He can't be all puffed up like that. I can't let him get by with that. Have you ever said silly things trying to straighten out somebody who said silly things? How many times have we been just like those when we answer a fool according to his folly and become just like him, just like her when we do that? We think there's a time to answer, but then there's a time not to answer. And how do you know the difference? When the Lord tells you. And how do we know when He tells us? Well, we got to listen, don't we? You can't listen to the Lord if you're too busy talking. There got to be still and wait on the Lord. You can't be waiting on the Lord if you're too busy running ahead. And there's a lot of times you and I say things that hurt so much when we could simply wait on the Lord. Listen, you don't have to fight those battles. He has fought the battles for you. You don't have to straighten out everything. He will take care of us. What are we to do? We're to wait on the Lord and be patient, and He will direct you. And when it's time to stand, He will give you the strength to stand and the ability to stand and the wisdom to stand. And why would He do that for us? Because He foreknew us even before the foundation of the world. And He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means right now, even in the work of grace, we begin to look like Him in this world. The beauty of the church is the reflection of the light of Christ. If a church is not reflecting the light of Christ, it has no light and it has no beauty. We have the things that we enjoy here as little children of God. I tell you, I enjoy a lot of stuff, a lot of blessings. I don't want to just call it stuff, but a lot of blessings in the church. I love the love that we feel among the brethren, don't you? It means a lot to me. I love the idea and the thought that we pray for one another and that we're forgiving one another and we love one another and we're there for one another. There in the good times as well as the bad times, that we're there to rejoice with one another. When my brethren rejoice, I rejoice with them. And when they weep, I weep with them. And that's a great blessing to have that kind of fellowship here in this world. But you know, we wouldn't have that at all if Jesus hadn't taught us how to do it and hadn't given us the instructions on how to do it. And if He wasn't the one, if we have any fellowship, first of all, our fellowship is with Him. And then we have fellowship with one another because He works in you and gives you a love for the things that you love. And he makes you so sweet. He does. He sweetens His people. He can make a home so close that isn't based on a thing at all with this world, where all of the stuff of this world can be gone, when all of the good looks is gone, when all of the natural things are gone. And listen, that's not going to stay there long. You have it when you're young and youth, but despite, I've seen people, if you ever seen those pictures of folks when they were young, you go like, my goodness. This week, they've been showing some of those pictures at school and where I used to have some youth. And, you know, I had some hair on my head and it was dark and mustache was dark. My kids look at it and say, oh, Mr. Ooze, you had hair. Mr. Ooze, oh, you had dark hair. Who is that in that picture? That's me. What happened to you, Mr. Ooze? I'll tell you what happens to me, what's happened to all of us, and what's going to continue to happen. And when all that's gone, I'm telling you what we have spiritually, you don't lose any of that. As a matter of fact, I believe it gets sweeter as the days go on and the home gets closer as the day go on and the love gets greater and deeper. And that's on a deep love that this world knows nothing about. And I'm telling you, if you have one taste of that, it's because the God of heaven loved you before the very foundation of the world, and He's blessed you with that special love and that special fellowship that a man would never have, never want. And as a matter of fact, people would just hear me tonight and think I'm crazy if they hadn't already been touched by the hand of God. But y'all don't think I'm crazy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And that's because one day we'll live together in heaven with Jesus. And while we're here, we can live together here with Jesus. And just a minute of fellowship with Him makes everything okay, no matter what. And when you don't have him, it's a cold, dark, cruel world. And why? Because he said, for God, he said to them, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We begin that wonderful transform. You're transformed while you're here. But it's just the start here. Like the little sign you've probably seen, it said, be patient with me, God's not done with me yet. And that's where we are, you know. And sometimes it seems like one step forward, two steps back. Sometimes we think we're growing, it seems like we're not. Talked to a brother this morning, he said, I dressed up, I came to church, I got all of my best clothes on. And he said, I try to feel clean, and I've come here, and I've put on my very best stuff. And he said, but I still feel dirty. And I knew what he meant. At first he told me something's wrong, and I thought something was really wrong. By the time he finished, I felt like nothing's wrong here. This is the way you ought to come. You see, when Jesus taught that wonderful parable in Luke 15, there were two types of people there. There were those that were the publicans and sinners that were there to hear the Word of God, but there were other scribes and Pharisees who felt righteous in themselves and thought, oh, he shouldn't even be talking to them. Where do we fit? There are a lot of people who feel like I'm really good. If God's going to take anybody, he'll take me. Listen, the gospel will knock that out of you, won't it? The truth will knock that out of you. That is, if the Lord's opened your ear to it, you realize there's no good in me. And if he hasn't paid the sin debt, there's no hope for me. If he's not the door, I won't get in. If he's not the way for me, there's no hope for me. Here's the good news. He said, whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Aren't you glad he's got many brethren? Oh, if he just had one, that would be wonderful. We say, want it to be me, though. We are thankful. I'm thankful that he loved us all. But election would be a scary doctrine if I didn't believe that I was one of the elect. Election would be predestination, and God's choice would be, If he'd have left me out, I couldn't have complained. But I believe by the evidence of my life that he has shown me evidence. I believe he's shown you evidence that you belong to him. And you belong to him not because you made choice of him, but because he made choice of you. And he did that a long, long time ago. If it was left up to us to choose him, we would have never done it. By nature, we wouldn't have done it. But he didn't do that, did he? He didn't have a weak plan. His plan was foolproof. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, get this, he also called. That means he called you. You say, well, am I predestinated? Well, have you been called? You know, the calling is something that works on you. He works on you. All of a sudden, you may not have had a love of God, and all of a sudden now you're loving him. You may not even understand why you love him. You may not feel like you're worthy to love him. You may feel like, how could he love me? You need to hear the gospel. Those publicans and sinners came to hear from him. No doubt they were longing for a word of comfort because they're hungry. They weren't there for loaves and fishes like some came to him. They were there to hear from him. And they wanted to hear words of comfort. And in that wonderful parable, don't you think it meant something to them to hear about one who went out and found that little sheep that was astray? Because see, they knew what they were. The scribes and Pharisees didn't know what they were, but those publicans and sinners knew they were astray. Do you know you're astray? If you know you're astray and were astray, if you know that, it's because God made you aware of it. Otherwise, you would have thought you're doing okay. But once you see that you're astray, that message of grace is a great message. And then in the same message, he told those scribes and Pharisees, there's more rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just men that need no repentance. That's what he says in Luke 15. And I mentioned this at Thumb Run. I mentioned it once again this morning. I'm going to mention it again right now. How many men do you know that are just that don't need any repentance? You know of any? I'll tell you what the Bible says. There's none righteous, which could be said, there's none just. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good. Who's sinned? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What he's talking about here is there are some who feel that they don't they have not sinned and feel that they're righteous enough. They've trusted in themselves that they're righteous and have not, they have not seen the need to trust in Jesus because they feel I'm good enough. I can have fellowship with God on my own. And remember, he taught them that in Luke 18, he taught them that wonderful lesson of the prayer of the publican and the prayer of the Pharisee, where the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, and he thanked God he wasn't like other men are, and the publican would not so much as look, lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Somebody said, who's worthy to be baptized? That little brother or sister who comes and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And my hope is in what Jesus has done for me. And if that's where you are, then you ought to take up your cross and follow the Lord in baptism. And that is a testimony of your belief that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again. And that's my hope of heaven and that's my hope of here. If he doesn't give me strength to live for him, I won't live for him. But he has given you that strength. And now he's called on you and duty demands it. And his blessing has enabled you to be that. Walk and follow in obedience to him. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He calls every one of them effectually. And whom he called, them he also justified. I love this because they're together. You don't separate them. Everyone he called, he justified. And therefore, everyone he justified, he also calls. Everyone that's born of the Spirit, he justified. He doesn't call them and then not be justified. Listen, if they're called, they're called effectually, and they were justified. Justified means they were made just as if they had not sinned. Your sins were taken from you, put on him, and he paid the sin debt, and you've been made just as if you had not sinned. And when God looks down from heaven upon us tonight, he sees us through the blood of Jesus, and he sees us just as if we had not sinned. Somebody said, well, how can I pray? Because of that. God hears your prayers because of what Jesus has done for you. And when I get home to glory, we say, how can the Lord let a sinner like me into heaven? It's because you've been justified. And where were you justified? Listen, on a hill called Mount Calvary, a Savior died. Blood was shed. And his blood flowed from the hinder sea to the former sea, and it covered the sin debt of every little heir of promise. And none of them for whom he died will ever be separated from him because of the blood of Jesus that has justified us. And we've been called and justified. Now, how many that he died for will miss anything that he paid for? They won't miss a thing. Because he said, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, we haven't been glorified yet. We're waiting that. But he talks about it just like it's already happened, because that's how sure it is. There's Lord's going to come with a shout. What a sound that'll be. A shout. The voice of the archangel. The trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Sang that song tonight. We'll fly away. Meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know when that's going to take place, but I'm telling you, it's a lot closer today than it was in the past. It's closer today than it was yesterday. It was closer than when we began the meeting tonight. And every hour we grow in this world, we're closer to that time. Do you believe in that time? I tell you, if you do, it's because he's given you faith, enabling you to believe. That's an evidence that he foreknew you before the foundation of the world, that you were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he's called you, that when he died on the cross, your sins were on him and he paid for you. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, you were there. You were there in his thoughts and in him. He has taken your sins in his own body and he nailed them to the tree of the cross, never to be remembered against us anymore. What a blessing. What a glorious truth. And he says, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Everything he bought and paid for, he will have. He will have them body, soul, and spirit with him in heaven and immortal glory. And then the question comes, what shall we say then to these things? Every time I read that passage, I think we say hallelujah. Say, praise the Lord. Lift up your hands and shout. Daddy, you said, clap your hands. Shout. Be thankful. We got something to be happy about tonight. We hear about all this election stuff and all the things that are going on. You get down and sad and depressed about it. Listen, we got better news than that. We got good news. We got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who sits on His throne. When you're in trouble, you got a friend in Jesus. You got one who loved you, foreknew you, predestinated you, called you, justified you, and will glorify you, who said we can look to Him in this world and find what we need. If God be for us, hear me, if God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter who's president. Doesn't matter who's the king. Doesn't matter whether it's Nebuchadnezzar or the Medes and the Persians or whoever's in power. Listen, there's a king above all kings. There's a Lord above all lords. He's in charge. I don't care what man thinks. They may think they're in charge. But oh, don't get to fretting about that. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you too if you've been fretting. Don't worry about that. That doesn't mean we ought not be praying. Of course we ought to pray. It doesn't mean, listen, it's not that we have no care at all, but don't be full of care. Be careful. Don't be full of care about that. Because how many times have we survived? And if the Lord allows a power to be, how did it get there? Did it just happen to be there? Oh, He's the one who puts those powers in place. He's the one who takes them away too. And He does it for His own glory and according to His own purpose. And we can rest in what He's done. If God be for us, is God for you? How could you read this tonight and not know God was for you? How could you just simply, if you didn't hear anything I've said, just read the passage and think God is for us? If God is for us, who's going to be against God? Can anybody? What power can stand against God? See, that's what Daniel knew, that gave him strength in a wicked kingdom to live and survive. And he did it not only in the Babylonian kingdom, when the Medes and Persians came, he did that. When they were gone, the next kingdom that came, he did that too. And we can stand wherever, whatever we have to face. I'm sure Daniel didn't want to face it. We don't want to face it. But we don't have to be in despair because our God hadn't changed. He's still on the throne. And He will be. And He will continue to be. He said this, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Freely give us all things. That is what you need. Not all things you want, but what you need. A lot of things I want, I didn't need. And if God spares me from them, I didn't need them. And if He gives them to me, then He's blessed me with them. I should be thankful for them. And then you're happy when you're living. You're at peace and rest. And when you're sitting there wanting something you don't have, that you didn't need, but you think you want, and you think you need it, who knows best? Do we know best or God? And if we truly need it, can God supply it? Yes. And we can look to Him for that. And if we don't need it, then He'll supply that. And you can rest in that. You know, I know y'all have heard this a million times before, but it's true tonight as it was the last time I said it. And it's true. We need to remember that and walk in it. I need to remember that. He said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." A lot of men think they are the ones who justify, but they're not. And they make a prediction about someone, but I'm telling you what, God knows His children and knows who they are, and it's not mine to judge or yours to judge. It's in the Lord's hands. It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Love the language here. He not only died, yea rather. Listen, He died, but He's not dead today. Isn't that good? Our Savior died, but He's not dead today. It is Christ that died, yea rather. Paul said, oh, He died, yeah, but better. He said, better than that, yea rather. He is risen again. Who is even where? At the right hand of God. Tonight we can talk with Him. I believe He's one with us. I believe I felt His presence tonight. I want to acknowledge that and give the Lord the praise. Who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's the one who allows us to be able to talk to our Father who is in heaven. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Got trouble? We all have trouble, right? Is that going to separate you from the love of God? No. How about distress? Is that going to do it? No. Persecution. Going to get persecution if you stand for what's right. I beg you, brethren, stand for what's right in your life. And then you put on the whole armor of God. Live a life that's honorable and praising to God. be trusting and leaning upon Him. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, a peril, a sword, all those words tell me that we're going to have some trouble in this world. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But get this, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That means He is our help and strength in the midst of all of that stuff. That's good news, isn't it? Good news. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Sometimes we'll let loose, but He doesn't. He's like that mother who holds on to that child. You know, child wants to pull away, sometimes run off. Mamas will hold on to them the best they can, but sometimes they'll slip out of mama's hands. But let me tell you, the Lord, He's never lost a one, and He never will. Even when we're trying to pull away, He won't let you pull away. He will chasten you. He'll correct you. He'll bring you back. He'll take you up, put you on His shoulders, and carry you. And as He comes in, though you've been really out in the mess, He'll say, I found my sheep. And the angels in heaven rejoice more over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just men who need no repentance. By the way, they really don't exist. Those just men who need no repentance, there are none. They think they are, but there are none. That's when He said the whole need not a physician. Who's whole? None of us. But they thought they were. He came to save not the ones who were found, but the ones who were lost. And when He gets working on the hearts of His children, He lets them know you're lost. And you've gone astray. And He picks you up and He brings you back. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Appreciate your kind attention.
Love you, my brother.
Amen.
Did she?